Beginning on Nunamed Aleph, continuing from last week's Gemara, the Gemara was discussing what's the shear for a person who has to go back to burn chametz that he forgot, or that he had Basar Kachim in his hands that he took out of Yerushalayim and he forgot, so how much does he have to turn around for? So the Gemara brings a brisa that Menassen said that the shear of both of them is two bayim, the size of two eggs, but the Chacham didn't agree. Gemara quotes the pasuk. It says, when Mashiach comes in those days, lo yia ar yikaras v'kipayin. So what does it mean there won't be any more ar yikaras v'kipayin? So Gemara brings three opinions here. Rabbi Elazar says that the light that is so dear, so chashuv in this world, will be kafui, will be light and insignificant leilam haba. Rabbi Yochanan says that the mesachtes of negoyim and olis that are considered hard in this world will be easy in leilam haba. Rabbi Shua ben Levi says a third shot. This is referring to people that are considered chashuv in this world. The next world they'll be considered light, not chashuv. Like Rabbi Shua ben Levi's son, Rabbi Yosef, was one time very sick, and his neshama went up, and when he came back, his father asked him, what did you see up there? And he said, I saw people who are yoinim, who are in this world are high up, and in that world they're lamata, they're down, and the opposite, tachtonim, there were people that are in this world are low down, and in that world are lamala. So Rabbi Shua ben Levi told him, no, you didn't see an upside down world, you saw the correct world, the clear world, we have it backwards. Then he asked him, what are us Talmid Chacham worth over there? So his son told him, the same way that we're Chashev over here, so too we're Chashev over there. Then he said, I also heard them say, praiseworthy is someone who comes to Shemayim with his learning in his hand, that he amassed a large amount of learning. And another thing I heard is they said that the Haruge Malchus, the ones that were executed by the government, no one's going to be able to get close to where they are in Olam Haba. So the Gemara says, what is that referring to? If it's referring to the Asar Haruge Malchus only because they were executed, they're Chashuv, not because of their Torah, must be it's referring to the Haruge Lud, which is two brothers that gave up their life the one time they libeled against the Jews that they were the ones who murdered the daughter of the king, and they took the blame on themselves in order to save the rest of Klal Yisrael. Another pasuk that it says over there in the Navi Zechariah, it says on that day, Yia Metzalas Asus, the Metzalas Asus will be Kodesh for Hashem. So what's this referring to? So Yeshua ben Levi says that they're going to add on to the borders of Yerushalayim the amount that a horse could run from the morning until the Metzalas Asus, until the shade of the horse is right directly beneath it, which is midday, meaning a half a day is running in each direction. That's what they're going to add to Yerushalayim. Rabbi Elazar says that they're going to add all the ornaments that they hang on the horse between its eyes, they're going to be makdish to Hashem. Rabbi Yochanan says the third shot, all the booty, all the spoils that the Klal Yisrael is going to collect in a half a day from the morning until the horse's shade is under it, they'll be makdish to Hashem. So the Gemara says, according to the third shot, I understand how the pasuk continues over there, that even the pots in the Beis HaMikdash will be like the Mizrakim, will be like the bowls that they catch the blood, meaning they'll be made out of precious metals, gold and silver, not like normal pots are made out of, because there will be such wealth. But according to the first two shot, then what's shot in this pasuk? So the Gemara says, this is not a continuation, it's a new thing, that besides what we said and done now, Klal Yisrael will also be so rich that they're going to donate a lot to HaKadosh, to the Beis HaMikdash, that even the pots will be made out of gold and silver. Then again, according to the third shot, we understand that which the pasuk says further over there, that they won't need any more for Hekesh to be merchants, because again, there will be so much wealth there. But according to the other two pshatim, what does it mean? They're just going to give add on to Yerushalayim. That doesn't make the Beis HaMikdash rich, or even if they give the ornaments on top of the sus, that's only a small amount. So on that, Rabbi Yirmi says, according to those pshatim, lo yeknani means ein kanani. It's an acronym to say that Klal Yisrael won't have any more poor people. How do you know that kanani means a merchant? So, because it says by Yehuda that when Yehuda went down from his brothers, it says he married a Bas Ish Kanani. Now, it can't mean that he married a daughter from Canaan, because Avram warned Yitzhak not to, and Yitzhak warned Yaakov not to. It's not going to be that Yehuda is going to go and marry one. So it must be that he married the daughter of somebody who's a merchant. Like it says to Psukim, one pasuk it says, Kanan biyadoi moizlim yirma, and another pasuk, asher secharel sarim kananel nechbadiyar. So we see Kanan could mean merchant. Then the pasuk says, V'ayi Hashem ha-melech ha-kol ha-aretz, v'yamu Hashem ha-chad u'shmei ha-chad. So what does it mean that Hashem is a-chad, that in this world he's not yet a-chad, and in the next world he will? Teretz is in this world, on bad tidings we say Dayan Emes, and on good news we say Hatayva Meitiv. In the next world, everything's going to be Hatayva Meitiv. What does that mean, Shema Yachad? Because in this world, Hashem's name is written Yudkei, Vavkei, but nonetheless, it's read with Adnus. But in the next world, everything's going to be, in one way, it's all going to be with the Shem of Havayi, the Shem of Yudkei, Vavkei. Rabbi wanted a darshan, the way to read the shame and the soidas behind it in the shir. So the Zaken told him that since it says la'olam, spelled without a vav, so it's read, it could be read la'alam, that means it has to be hidden, the name of Hashem should be hidden, and not darshan publicly. Ravina also asked the seer, it says Eshmi la'olam, again la'alam, that it has to be hidden, but then it says this is the way I'm remembered, that it's not hidden. Teretz is again, there's two shemais. The way that it's written is taka hidden, which is yukhe vavke, but it's read with aladalas, which is, that's the way he's mentioned in every generation. Then the next paragraph begins, at a place that had a minig to do melach on Erev Pesach, until chatzos, they may do so. A place that had a minig not to do, doesn't do. If a person travels from one place that does to a place that doesn't, or vice versa, he has the chumras of both places. A person shouldn't be mashana, act differently than everybody else, because not to lead to machlokes. Similarly, if someone traveling on Shemitah from a place where a certain type of produce is not available anymore in the field, so therefore it's subject to beer, to a place where that type is available, or vice versa. So either way, he's chayv and beer, he has to get rid of those fruit. Rav Yehuda says, no, we tell him, say the havi l'cha af ata, you can go bring yourself as well, and we'll see in the Gemara what Rav Yehuda was coming to say. So the Gemara starts off by asking, why dafka an Erev Pesach after Chatzos is an Asur? Every Erev Shabbos and Erev Yantav, we also say that if you do melacha from Micha and Mala, you won't see from after the time of Micha Ketana, you won't see a Siman Bracha. So Gemara says two truths. Either over there it's only from Micha Ketana and on, whereas over here it's already from Chatzos, 2.5 hours earlier, 3.5 hours earlier, 3 hours earlier. Or another pshat is over there, if a person does malacha, he's not going to see a sim bracha, but we won't put it in techerim. But, masha'ekid an Erev Pesach, if he does malacha, we'll put him in techerim. So the Gemara quotes a price that someone who does malacha on Erev Shabbos or Erev Yontif, or Matzah Shabbos and Matzah Yontif, or Matzah Yom Kippurim, or on a Tzayas Sibra, from that malacha, he'll never see a sim in bracha. So the Gemara continues that there brings a price that sometimes a person could be a zarus, he could constantly work, and he can gain from that because he works a whole week, but make sure not to work on Erev Shabbos. There's another Zoros who loses out, that means he does work all weekend, and he also works on Erev Shabbos. Then there could be someone who's a shuffle, he doesn't do much, then this guy can gain, because he doesn't work a whole week, but nonetheless, if he doesn't work on Erev Shabbos, so he gains. And then finally, there's a shuffle on this side, someone who doesn't work a whole week, but the one time he does work is Erev Shabbos, so he loses from the fact that he's working on Erev Shabbos. Then the Gemara says, Rava said that the women of Mechuzah, even though that which they don't do work, is only because they're pampered, and has nothing to do with the fact that it's Erev Shabbos, and the proof to that is the whole week they don't work. Nonetheless, that's what we just said in the Baiser, Shafel Veniskar, that even though they don't do work because they're lazy, nonetheless they gain from the fact that they didn't work Erev Shabbos, and that the Gemara brings the concept of Shalei Lishma. It says in one pasuk, "Ki gadol ad shemaim," only up to the shemaim is chastecha, and another pasuk says, "Me'al shemaim chastecha," that your chasal go even above shemaim. Teretz is when it's done the shema, it's above shemaim, and if it's shalei lishma, it's ad shemaim, and that's what Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav, that a person should always do Torah mitzvahs even shalei lishma, because from doing the shalei lishma, he'll eventually come to do it lishma. What brings the brayso? That someone who's looking forward to the schar, to the profits of his wife working, or from his millstone, so then he's not going to see a siman bracha. So Gemara explains that schar of his wife that we're talking about over here is when she goes around to the shuk to weigh things for people, so it's a small amount of profit, and she's being mevazeh for herself for that, so there won't be a siman bracha. And similarly, a millstone means that he hires himself out to work at a millstone. But when a woman produces things and they sell them, so that adarabah, that the pasuk says is praiseworthy, like it says in the pasuk, sell the nasas of a timkar. Next price says that a person who does business with reeds or with jugs doesn't see a siman bracha, because since these things are hollow and they take up a lot of space, a lot of area, much larger than they really are, so that causes ayin hara, and that ruins the siman bracha of that work, of that venture. Then another brisa, the merchants that sit out in the streets, so they get an ayin hara, or those who raise behemoth dakas, so everybody gets upset at how they eat in other people's fields, or the ones who cut good trees, fruit trees, for lumber, or when people divide, they always look to try to get the best possible portion. So such people, they don't get a siman bracha because they are doing things that make other people get upset and make other people wonder about them. Then another brisa says there's four putos, there's four coins that don't have a siman bracha. The schar that the seifrim get, the schar that the mitur gemara, the ones that set over the shear of the amoraim, the schar of those who take care of yisayimim, and the money that comes from overseas. So in essence, I understand that Motor Kumanim, because since the drush used to be on Shabbos, it looks like Schar Shabbos. Those that take care of Yisraelim also, because inevitably they're going to upset the Yisraelim some way or other, and Yisraelim can't be Merchel. Money that comes from across the sea, because it has to go by Makam Sakon, and not every day, because you rely that a Nes is going to happen. But what's the problem with the Seifrim? Why won't that have a Sim Bracha? So when it says, in the name of Rishu Levi, that the Anshe Knesset HaKadosh fasted 24 fasts on the Seifrim in order that they shouldn't become rich, because if they would become rich, they would stop writing, and then these things wouldn't be available. Another Brisa, those that write Svarim, Tzorim, Mezuzahs, and their merchants, and the merchants of their merchants, and anybody else who deals with Melech HaShemayim, including those that make and sell Tcheles, so they don't steal a Siman Bracha, for the reason that we mentioned. However, if they do it Lishma, so then there's nothing to be afraid of, so then they could see a Siman Bracha. The Mar brings that the people of Baishan used to have a minig that they wouldn't travel on Erev Shabbos, even a small distance from Tzor Tzidon, and even though that was their market day. Their children came to Rabbi Yochanan and they asked that our fathers were able to afford it and they were able to be machmer. But it's not possible for us to be machmer, so could we do it or not? So he said, sorry, your father's already accepted as a minik, you can't violate it anymore, like it says, Shema b'nei Musar, avich v'al titash teresh imecha. The people of Chizal had a minik that they used to take off challah from rice. So Rabbi Yochanan was told this, and he said that as a non-kohen should eat that challah in front of them to show that it's not really challah. So Abai asked, doesn't it say that things that are really mutter and other people are nonetheless have a minute to ask of them, you're not to be matur in front of them? So he said, that's only, like Rav Chista says, by kusim, because if you're going to start being makel, they're going to be makel even more. But by regular people, you're allowed to be matur in front of them. So the Gemara says, these people also, since they're not b'nei Torah, they have the same problem as kusim, and therefore, you can't be makel in front of them. Therefore, said Rav Rashi, it depends. If this place, most of the people only eat rice, so then you shouldn't be matur in front of them, because if that's the case, they're going to end up forgetting that there's such a concept of challah in the first place. But if most of the people also eat dough made out of grain, so then adrabah, you should not keep this minute that it should be challah, because then they may end up being mafresh from chiv on p'tur or from p'tur on chiv. That which we said before, Dvar Mamutarim, things that are bad to Mutar, and other people are Noyik Isser, you're not going to be Matar in front of them. So, like we said before, Rav Chisda said, that's Tavka by Kusim. So, frankly, more than, and not by anybody else. Don't we have a Baisa that says, really, two brothers are allowed to bathe together, and there's no Isser in that. However, in Kabul, they were Noyik Isser, and Rav Gamliel's two children, Yud and Gamliel, one time were bathing there, and everybody started talking about it. So, one of them left, and they didn't want to say that it's really mutter. Similarly, on Shabbos, you're allowed to go out with these wide shoes known as Kord the Kisayin, but in the city of Biri, they didn't wear it. And again, Yehuda and Gamliel and Hill, or Gamliel's two children, were one time wearing them, and everybody talked about it, so they took their shoes off, and they didn't want to tell them it's mutter. And the third story, you're allowed to sit on the benches that the merchants sit on Shabbos. However, in the city of Akka, there were Noyig Isser. One time, Rav Shimon Gamliel was sitting on one of those benches, and everybody started talking about it, so he went off the bench and sat on the ground, and he didn't want to tell them that you're Mutter. So the Gemara answers, the reason why Kusim is a problem is, like we said before, since they're not B'nai Torah, so if you're going to be Mekel a little bit, they're going to be Mekel even more. So the people from Medina Siam, from overseas, they have the same problem. Since there's no Rabbanon that are common to be over there, so they're not learning people and they don't understand, so once you're going to start being Mekel, they have the same problem, but they're going to be Mekel even more, and that's why it was also in front of them. So Marissa says, I understand the problem with sitting on the benches because it looks like they're doing business on Shabbos. The problem with wearing those shoes on Shabbos is because since they're wide, they may fall off and you might end up carrying on Shabbos. But what's the problem with two brothers bathing together at the same time in a merchatz? So Gemara says, based on the following brisa, the brisa says, a person may bathe with anybody besides his father, his father-in-law, his stepfather, or his sister's husband. Rav Yehuda says a father is mutter in a case that his father needs him to be mishamish with him. And the same thing would be true with the stepfather. So the people of this place, they were geyser, that two brothers shouldn't bathe together, a geyser because of a sister's husband. And really, la halacha, we don't make such a geyser. The Gemara quotes a brisa that a Talmud shouldn't bathe together with his Rebbe because of covet of his Rebbe, but if his Rebbe needs him, then it's okay. One time Rabbi Bar Chana came to a bovel, and he ate the fat from the inside, from the curve of the bow, of the cave of stomach, which in Eretz Yisrael they held was mutter, and in bovel they held it was aser. Rabbi Avira, Saba, and Rabbi Bar Avuna went to visit him, so as soon as he saw them, he covered it up. So when they came back and they told it to Abaye, Abaye said, he's treating you like Husim, because he didn't want to be mutter in front of you. So the Gemara asked, doesn't Rabbi Bar Chana hold to that which we say in the Mishnah that you have the chumras of both places, the places that you left and the place that you went to? So the Gemara gives two truths to him. Either that's when you're going from one place in Babel to another place in Babel, or one place in Eretz Yisrael to another place in Eretz Yisrael, or from Babel to Eretz Yisrael. However, if you go from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, since Babel is kafav, is subject to Eretz Yisrael in learning, so therefore they could do like their minig, if anything, we have to do like them. Rav Ashi says, even if you want to say normally from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, you have to keep the chumras of the place that you went to, that's only if you're planning on staying there. But if you're planning on going back, so then you don't have to keep it. Rabbi Bar Chana told his children that you can't eat it not in front of me and not for sure not when it's not in front of me. Because I saw Rabbi Yochanan eat this chaylev, so I know it's mutar. I have a right to be slamich on him, whether it's in front of him, whether it's not in front of him. But you, who didn't see Rabbi Yochanan, you only saw from me, who's saying it in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, so therefore you have no hatred to do it not in front of me and not when it's not in front of me. And the Gemara says that's a stira to a different member that Rabbi Bar Chana himself said, that he said that one time Rabbi Yochanan ben Elazar told me that he followed Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yossi ben Lekunya into a garden, and he took the wild growths of on Shemitah of cabbage and ate them even after the Zman beer, because these things are not subject to the rules of beer. And he gave it to me, and he told me that in front of me you could eat it, but when I'm not here you can't eat it, because I watch Rav Shimon Baruchai eat it, so I can be samech on him whether it's in front of him or whether it's not in front of him. You were only getting it from me, so you can only do it in front of me, but not when it's not in front of me. So we see that when you see it secondhand, even though you can't do it in front of, but at least in front of is okay. What's this Rav Shimon? Because the Baisa says, Rav Shimon says, all the Svichim, the wild growths that grow in Shemitah, are also, with the exception of the ones of cabbage, because they're not daima to any other vegetables of the field. The Chum say, no, across the board, all Svichim are aser. The Gemara explains that both of them are arguing according to the Shita of Rabbi Kiva. That Rabbi Kiva dash in the Pasuk, it says in the Pasuk, Halein is it, we can't plant on Shemitah, for the Nesef is to a sin, and we can't gather our Tua. So Rabbi Kiva asked, if you're not going to plant, obviously, what are you going to gather? So it must be that even the wild growths, even the Svichin, are aser. So that the Chum say that even though the Svichin Kruv are different than all other Svichin, because they don't ever have a period that they're totally gone from the field, nonetheless, we're going to the Svichin Kruv up to all other Svichin of all other vegetables, and Shem Berichai held not to be Gezer. Then, going back to the Mishnah says if you go from place to place, you have to have the chumras of the place you left and the place that you went to, and then the Mishnah said, don't change because of the minik. So Bishlama, if you go from a place that doesn't malacha to a place that doesn't do malacha, you're going to get the chumras of the place that you went to that doesn't do malacha. You shouldn't change from the place you're in, which again says don't do malacha. So those two things work together. That makes sense. But if you're going from a place that doesn't do malacha to a place that does malacha, so if you get the chumras of the place that you left, that means to say you shouldn't do malacha. But if you say Arishanim Me'am Achoikis, that means you should act like the people there, that means you should do malacha. So how do you reconcile those two things? So the first time says, the Gemara says, Abaye and Echanami, that which we said Arishanim Me'am Achoikis is only going on the Reisha. Rava says, no, even on the Seifa,
It could be going, and what the Mishnah means to say is, even though you're not doing malacha, it's not a problem of Aishan and Machlokes. Why? Because the people who see you not doing malacha, they won't say that's because you disagree with them and you hold it tzasser. They'll think you just don't have malacha to do. There's many people who don't have work who don't work. Reb Safra told Reb Abba, asked Reb Abba, us that we know when the real Rosh Chodesh is, we don't have a Sfikat Yuma. So, nonetheless, when we're amongst other people, B'yishuv, we cannot do melacha because of the machlokes. But what happens if we're out in the midbar? Could we not in front of everybody? Are we allowed to do melacha or not? So he said that's taka the halacha, B'yishuv, it's usher, but in the midbar would be mutter. Then the Gemara brings a story that Reb Nosson Bar Asya came from Beirav to Pumbedisa on the second day of Shavuos. Reb Yosef put him to Chirim. So Abai asked him, why are you putting him to Chirim? Why didn't you give him Malchus? So he said, Chirim is a harsher punishment, because in Eretz Yisrael, when they had to punish one of the Talmidim, they only gave him Malchus and not Chirim, because of the covenant of the Talmud Chacham. Another version of the story is that Rabbi Yosef gave him Malchus and he didn't put him to Chirim. So Abai asked him, why are you only giving him Malchus? Why don't you put him to Chirim like we know the halacha is? Rav and Shmuel both say that you put someone to chayim for violating this Yom Tov Shein Shal Golias. So they said that's by a regular person, by a Talmud Chacham, because of his covenant, we do the lesser thing and we give him Malchus, like in Eretz Yisrael, that when they wanted to punish the Talmud Chacham, they only gave him Malchus and they didn't put him into chayim. That which the Mishnah says, the Rebbe Yehuda said, "Save Havi L'cha Af Ato." So Pashup Shat, it means that if he went from a place that doesn't have, that has, to a place that doesn't have, he doesn't have to get rid of his fruit, because he can tell other people that you can go also and bring it from where I brought it from. But it says the Gemara, that can't be pshat, because Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of that rule, that you gave the chumis of the place that you left from and the place that you went to. So therefore, Rabbi Shisha Bered Ravidi says that Rabbi Yehuda is going on a new halacha. And this is what he means. If a person went from a place that the fruit didn't finish off yet, to a place where, again, in the second place as well, it's still like kalu, it didn't finish off, but he heard that those fruit are already kalu in the first place that he originally left. So the Tanna Kamma says, since it came originally from there, you have to get rid of them. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. You could tell the people from the original city, you can come bring from the city that I'm in now, and therefore I'm machayev in beer. That the Gemara asks, if that's the case, it comes out of Rabbi Yehuda's lekula. But didn't Rabbi Elazar say that Rabbi Yehuda's lechumra? Therefore, we'll have to say the opposite way. The Tanna Kamma was the one who said you didn't have to get rid of it. Rabbi Yehuda says that no. We tell the people from the first city, tell them, come bring it from where you originally got it from, which is the first city, and since you can't, therefore you do have to get rid of it. Abayis is a noobshat. The case was, he went from a place that it was loiko to a place that was kolo, and then he went back to the first place. So the Tanakama says you're not chayiv to be mevar, because since in the first place is like kalu, you don't have to get rid of it. Reb Yehuda says since in the middle you went to a place that was kalu and you can't bring it from that second place, therefore you have to get rid of it. On that, the Gemara asks, what should be pshat in that? Just because it went on the back of the donkey into that city, so now it becomes like part of that city. So therefore, says Reb Rashi, a new pshat we're talking about in the following machlokes. We have a Mishnah that says if someone preserves together three different types of produce. So Rabbi Eliezer says you go with the zman of beer of the first one. Rabbi Shua says you go with the zman of the last one. And Gamliel says each one goes with its own respective zman. So the Tanna Kamma held like the kula of Rabbi Shua that you could eat till the last one. On that, Rabbi Yehuda was coming to say, save Avidloch Atha, each min, like Rabbi Gamliel, each min goes as long as it's available. Since you can't bring from that min, you have to get rid of that min. Ravina says one last pshat. It's in the machlokes of the following Tanoim that we learned you could eat the dates until there's no more dates in Sayar. Rav Shimon Gamliel says if there's dates still stuck between the branches, then you could eat. But the ones that are stuck between the scales on the trunk that are sharp and prickly like thorns, so those you can't eat. And that's what Rav Yehuda was saying. Save all the lechol af ato, since you can't bring it from where it's accessible to the animals, therefore you're not allowed to eat anymore. You have to do beer. The Mishnah says there's three regions for beer. Yehuda, Eva Yadin, and Galil. And even though each region technically could be subdivided into three parts, nonetheless, the halacha, anywhere in the same region, in Yehuda, for example, you could eat as long as it's available in one of the sub-regions of Yehuda. How do you know this? So the Gemara says, because it says in the pasuk, "Behem dechol chaya asher bi'aretzecha," as long as the chaya can find it somewhere in the Eretz. And Chazal knew that an animal in Yehuda will go anywhere in Yehuda to eat, so it's still available for him. But an animal that comes from Yehuda will not go to Galil, and vice versa, an animal from Galil will not go to Yehuda. Then the Gemara discusses what happens to payers that were taken from Eretz Yisrael during Shemitah, and then they went to Chutz Laretz. So the Tanna Kama says you do the beer wherever you are. Rav Shimon ben Elazar says no, they have to go back to Eretz Yisrael to do the beer, like it says Ba'artzacha. The Gemara explains that even though we use Ba'artzacha for the previous drasha, we see two drashas from there, either because it could have said Ba'artz and it says Ba'artzacha, or one is from the extra word Asher that it says Asher Ba'artzacha. Rav Safra was leaving Eretz Yisrael and he was carrying with him a barrel of wine, a jug of wine of Shemitah wine. And he was walking together with Rav Huna ben Rav Ika and Rav Kahana, were both Hamidim Rav Avo. So he asked them if they heard from their Rabbi Rav Avo if we pass him like Rav Shimon ben Elazar or not. Rav Kahana says that we do pass him like him, and Rav Huna ben Rav Ika said that we don't pass him like him. So Rav Safra said, I'm going to go with Rav Huna because he was more medaic, was more careful to get the words of his Rabbi exact, the same way that we know that Rav Chavura of Pumbedisa had this Maila. When Rav Yosef found out about this, he commented, the pasuk says, Ami be'etzoi yishal umakla yagud loy. So we dashen not that they used their staff as a superstition, but rather, makla is from the lashon of mekel. And they went kula shopping, and anybody who's mekel, they would follow that shita. Then the Gemara brings a story that Rav Loy caught dates that were underripe on Shemitah. So the Gemara asked, how are you allowed to do that? The pasuk says, you're not allowed to destroy pear trees. La'achla, you're only allowed to eat them and not destroy them. Maybe you'll tell me that's only once they're pears, but because they're not ripe, they're not yet called pears. How could that be? Didn't Rabbi Avua say that the metachli of Arla, which is some type of husk that grows around the dates of Arla, are oster? Because they're a shomer to the peri, and so therefore they have a status like the peri itself. Now, at what point are they a shomer to the peri? Before the peri is ripe. So you see, even before the peri is ripe, it's already called a peri. So the Gemara says, that memra was the Shita Rabbi Yosi, who says that smadar, when grapes start forming, those little balls, they're already considered oster, because they're already, as far as Arla is concerned, because they're already considered a peri. However, the Rabbanim disagree, and the Rabbanim know that it's not a peri until it's ripe. On that, the Gemara asks, do the Rabbanim disagree by other peris? Don't we have a Mishnah that says, at what point in time are you not allowed to destroy the trees on Shemitah because you're destroying the peris trees? Beishama says, any tree once the fruit start forming. Beisol says, carob trees, buxer trees, is when they, buxer grows into like chains. Grapevines, when they hit the stage of Geruah, which we'll explain in a moment. Olives, when they get this husk on them, which is called Mishnah Yunitsu, and all other trees when they form the pears. Rabbi Asi explained that this year of the Agriu is what is synonymous with Baisar, which is the size of Pura Lavan. Now, who's the Tana that says that grapes have to already be Baisar, which is a later stage, and Smother is not good enough? Must be the Rabbanon who are going to be busy. And nonetheless, by other ones, it says, by other trees, it says as soon as Mishnah Yunitsu, as soon as the pears form, they're already called pears. So the Mersa Zenachanami, that which Rabbi Lai caught. He cut trees that were nishani, that they were inferior peris that will never ripen. So therefore, cutting them off the tree is not destroying them, because they're not going to ripen anymore anyway when they're sitting on the tree. The Mara quotes a brisa that you could eat the grapes until the last ones of oichel are available. However, as you find out that there's another place that has even later, so that you could eat till then. Similarly, as they seem go until the last ones of tekaya. Rabbi Eliezer says till the last ones of Gush Chalav. And how much does he have to find? So the Gemara says that when an Adi goes to collect, and he's not going to find not by the trunk of the tree and not in the branches of the tree, a quarter of a calf of fruit. You could eat figs until the figs of Beishini are no longer available. Rabbi Eliezer says no. The figs of Beishini weren't mentioned in the Gabi Shemitah, but rather they were mentioned in the Gabi Meiser, that the figs of Beishini and the ones of Tevina, even though they're small and they don't fully ripen, nonetheless, they're still called peres that are higher than Meiser. Continuing the first brisa, you could eat dates until the last ones are found in Sayer. Rav Shimon Gamliel said, like we quoted before, you could eat as long as there's ones in between the branches, but you can't eat once they only find the ones that are stuck in the scales of the trunk. And that the Gemara asked, do we say all these shurim? We have another place that it says you could eat grapes until Pesach, owls until Shuris. the dried figs until Hanukkah and dates until Purim. Rabbi Yochanan switched the last two, the shear of dates and the shear of figs. But either way, we see that it is totally in this and not in the places that we said before. So Gemara says two truths: either that they're the same shear, or we said the first in the first one, if there are later, then you could eat later. So the second bris is talking about when you know that there are later. Then Gemara, of course, the bris of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says that the siman to know that something's a har, a mountain, is that it has the gona trees. A valley is that it has palm trees. A nachal is that it has reeds growing there. And a shvelo, which is like plains, is that it has sycamore trees growing there. Like it says in the pasuk, "Va'itan amelach hazakas v'yushalayim ka'avonim v'ezharazim nosan kishikmim asher b'shvelo." So we see the shikmim belong in the shvelo. So the Gemara says, what's it all make a nafkamina? So we said that which harem needs gona trees and the valley needs palm trees is for a nafkamina for bikurim, because you don't bring bikurim only from the shivas aminim, and even from the shivas aminim you have to bring from where it grows better, and therefore you can't grow from the take from the palms that grow in the mountains, only the ones that grow in the valley. And by grain it's the opposite, you bring dafka from the ones that grow in the mountain and not from the ones that grow in the valley. That which you need to know that a nachal has reeds, the nafkamina is for agla rufa, there has to be in a nachal eson. That which we say that a shvela needs sycamore trees, the nafkamina is the mekakamemka. If you say that I'm going to sell you something in the shvela, it has to be a place that has sycamore trees. Now that you said that this is the nafkamina lagabi, this last one, so all of them could also make a nafkamina lagabi mekakamemka. The next mission says a place that had a minig to sell behema dakas, small animals, to goyim, you're allowed to. A place that had a minig not to, you cannot. But either way, you're not allowed to sell them a behema gasa, because they might end up taking it for a test drive or renting it from you and doing malacha on Shabbos. And even calves, young ones, that are not able to do malacha yet are aser, and also who are in, whether they're whole or even if they're broken. Rabbi Yehuda says no. If it's broken, then you could sell it to him because he's going to kill it right away to eat it. But Maseira says you're allowed to sell a horse to him because a horse carries people, which is not a malacha deraisa. Then the Mishnah says a place that had a minig to eat roasted meat on the night of Pesach, they're allowed to. A place that had a minig not to, they're not allowed to. Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rav that a person shouldn't say about meat that this meat is for Pesach, because it looks like he's saying that it's for the Karban Pesach, and as if he's being makdashit as a carbon, and then it looks like kasher mechutz. Says Rav Papa, that's only true on meat. But if you say this wheat is for Pesach, everybody understands that you're not being makdash the wheat for a Karban Pesach. It means that you're going to watch it for the yontif of Pesach. Frankly, more Basar is a problem. Don't we have that Rabbi Yossi said over a story that Titus Ishroimi made a minig in Rome that they used to eat a goat roasted like the way that they roasted a Karban Pesach, whole with the intestines on its head. And they sent him, had you not been tied this, that we would put you into cherem, because you're making it, people almost come to eat kachim b'chutz. People will think it's kachim, and they'll be makdish and come to eat kachim b'chutz. So it's mashma, dafka, if it's roasted in such a way, otherwise it's okay. So the Mara says, if you speak it out, then it's always a problem. If you didn't speak it out, then it's only a problem if it's makulas, but if it's not makulas, then it's not a problem. Reb Acha had the girsa, instead of Reb Yossi, he had that it was Reb Shimon. Mm-hmm. So on that, the Gemara asks, Bishlam, if it's Reb Yossi, I understand. But it's Reb Shimon, what's the problem? Reb Shimon holds that there's a rule that if you donate something that you can't normally donate, like, for example, a mincha made out of siren, so then it's meaningless. So who are then, if you do kachim after the shrita, maktash amin, it's not hektash anyway, so what are we afraid of? So on that, the Gemara asks, and if you want to say like Rabbi Yossi, it's any better? Didn't Rav explain that Rabbi Shimon, who says when you say I really like Mechas Sa'irim, that it's not Kaddish, has to come on to Rabbi Yossi, who holds that we don't only look at Tfaris Lashemisha in the beginning of a person's sentence, we look at the whole sentence. Because otherwise, as soon as he said I really like Mecha, even before he finishes off, he already owes a proper Karban Mecha made out of wheat. So isn't it the same with Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Yossi holds like Rabbi Shimon, and if that's the case, Rabbi Yossi holds Lois Nadav Kedarach Masnamin. So even if it's Rabbi Yossi, what was the problem with Titus Ishroimi? So the Gemara says no raya. Rabbi Shimon has to hold like Rabbi Yossi, but Rabbi Yossi may not hold like Rabbi Shimon. We had a shaila. It was this Titus Ishroimi a chasher person, and that's why I didn't want to put him to cherem, or was he a powerful influential person, and that's why they were afraid to put him to Chirim. So the Gemara brings that we see that it was a chaser person because Titus just Remi Darshan, that why did Hanan and Mishal Bazaya see that they should allow themselves to be thrown in to the Kishonai, to the furnace? Because I made a Kavachayim from Makas Vadeya. The frogs, it says that they went into the ovens and into the dough. So we Darshan, when is the dough next to an oven? When the oven is hot, when you're about to bake the dough. And nonetheless, they went into the ovens. So they gave up their life to jump into the oven for Hashem. So we, who are Mitzvah Kedushas Zem, Alachas Kama V'Kama. Rabbi Yosi Bar Avin said further that this Titus Yisrami, he used to support, he used to give them money and invest for the Talmid Chachamim. And Rabbi Yochanan says, anybody who is Matamullah the Kishol Talmid Chachamim and invests money to support the Talmid Chachamim, he's going to sit in Yeshiva Shemala next to them, like it says in the Pasuk, B'tzela Chachamim, B'tzela Kesef. The next mission says, a place that had a minute to light candles in the house, the night of Yom Kippur, they may. A place that had a minute not to light doesn't light. But either way, you can light in the Batei Knesiyos, Batei Midrashos, in the dark alleyways, and where the Chayla is. So the Gemara explains, whether they said to light or they said not to light, they both had the same Kavanah, that the point was that since Yom Kippur night is also B'Tashmash Amita, they wanted to do something that will make them avoid Tashmash Amita, and on that the Gemara brings the Drosha, V'Amech Kulim Sadikim, Noyim Yeshu words, that either way that they did, both of them, the Kavanah was L'Shem Shemayim. Then the Gemara brings that Rabbi Yehuda said in the Limush Shmuel that you only make a Bar Me'ayesh on Matzei Shabbos, since fire was created on Matzei Shabbos. So the Zakin asked, it said, Yasha Klayach, and Rabbi Yehuda said the same thing. Then the Gemara brings a story that Ula was one time riding, Rabbi Abba was on his right side, and Rabbi Avraham was on his left side. Rabbi Abba asked him, is it true that which Rabbi Yehuda said that you only make a Bar Me'ayesh on Matzei Shabbos? So Ula gave a look at Rabbi Avraham, like a stern, dirty look. Like, why did you tell him this? So on that, Rabbi Rachana answered back, I never told him that Rabbi Yechon said you only make Matzah Shabbos. Rather, I told him that which it says in the Mishnah, that a mokim, shenohagu, not to light on Yom Kippur, doesn't light, but if it's Yom Kippur, it happens to be Friday night, then you do light. On that, Rabbi Yechon said, no, that the Chachamim disagree with that, and the Chachamim say that even if Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos, you still don't light. That's what I said. So Ula said, if that's what you said in the name of Rabbi Yechon, that's taka true. Rabbi Yehuda commented about the story. The pasuk says, "Ma'ima mukim eitzav lev ish v'ish tvuna yidlena." So, what's that referring to? The "Ma'ima mukim eitzav lev ish," that's referring to Ula. He just gave a look. He didn't explain what it was. It was deep in his heart, and nonetheless, the ish tvuna, a person that had bina, understood it. That's Rabbi Bava Chana, who understood what that look meant. So, the Gemara says both of these two people that they wanted to say that Havdalah is not only on Matzah Shabbos, Bar Me'ayesh. So how did they hold? They held like Rabbi Yamir Yefes who said in the Rabbi Yechanan that you make a Bar Me'ayesh, whether it's Matzah Shabbos or it's Yom Kippur, and that's Taka, the Minig. So on that the Gemara asked, we have a Brisa that says the Feresh that you only make a Matzah Shabbos since fire was created Matzah Shabbos. And as soon as you see the fire, you make it right away. According to the Tanakhama, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you wait till you have a Kais and you make all the Brachas together a la Kais. Rabbi Yechanan said, we pass like Rabbi Yehuda. But bottom line, we see you only make Matzah Shabbos. So the Gemara says, if it's an Arsha Shabbos, an Ar that was around the whole Yom Kippur, so then you can make Matzah Yom Kippur as well. But if it's a new fire that was lit on Matzah Yom Kippur, then you don't make only on Matzah Shabbos, you can make from a new fire. Similarly, the Gemara brings two Brises. One Brises says a new fire that was lit, you could make Avdol on it. Another Brises says you cannot. So the Gemara says, it's not a theory. Matzah Shabbos, you can make on a new fire. On Yom Kippur, you could only make if it was an Arsha Shabbos. The Gemara brings, based on the machlokes we had before, that Rebbe scattered out the brachas, meaning as soon as he saw an ish, he made a Bar Me'ayesh right away. Rebbe Chiya waited to gather all the brachas together and make them alakos. Says Rebbe Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, even though Rebbe made the bracha Bar Me'ayesh before, when he came back home, he said them again, alakos, in order to be mighty his family. Frankly, Gemara, is it true that the fire was created on Shabbos? Don't we learn in a brisa that 10 things were created on Erev Shabbos ben Hashmashes? The well of Miriam, the mon, the bow, and the rainbow, the ksav of the luchas, the tool that was used to write it, the luchas themselves, that's six, Moshe's cavern, the cave that both Moshe and Elio stood in, the opening of the mouth of the donkey who spoke to Bilam, and the mouth of the earth that swallowed up the Adas Kerach. Rabbi Nechemiah says, in the name of his father, also fire and mules were created at Ereshav and Hashmashes. Rabbi Yehoshua says, in the name of his father, the Isle of Akedas Yitzchak and the Shamir worm that was used to cut the stones for the Beis HaMikdash were also created then. Rabbi Yehuda says also tongues were created then, because he said in order to make one tongue, you need to be able to hold it with another tongue. So how was the first one ever made? Must be that Hashem made it. On that, the answer back, no, there's another way to do it. You can make a mold and pour in molten metal and make the tongs, and therefore it doesn't have to be that Hashem made it. It could be a man-made thing. Bottom line, we see that Ar was created in an Erev Shabbos, not a Motzei Shabbos. So the Gemara says, yeah, that's the fire of Gehenim. Masha Engin Afar was created in Motzei Shabbos. Frankly, Gemara, is that so that the fire of Gehenim was created in an Erev Shabbos? Don't we say that there's seven things that were created before the world was created, which is Torah, Tshuva, Gan Eden, Gehenim, the Kisei HaKavod, the Beis HaMikdash, and the Shem of Mashiach. So we see that Gehenim was made from before. So as the Gemara says, the cavity of Gehenim, the space where Gehenim occupies, that was made from before the world. But the fire of Gehenim wasn't made till Erev Shabbos. Frank the Gemara still is that so. We have another Bryce that Rabbi Yossi says that the fire that Hashem created on the second day never gets extinguished, and we know that's referring to the fire of Gehenim. And similarly, Rabbi Noah says that why doesn't it say Kitayv on the second day of creation? Because on that day, the fire of Gehenim was created. And nonetheless, Rabbi Lozer adds that even though it doesn't say directly on that day Kitayv, but at the end of the 6 days of creation, it includes everything, and it says, V'ayelakim es kol asher al savi neitayv ma'od. So rather, says the Gemara, you're right. The space of Gehenim was made before the world. The fire of Gehenim was made on the second day of creation. Our fire, the fire of this world, Hashem had a mashava to create it on Erev Shabbos, but it wasn't actually created practically until Motzei Shabbos. Like Rabbi Yossi said in the Brisa, those two things that were all of a mashava to create on Erev Shabbos, but they weren't created until Motzei Shabbos. And on Motzei Shabbos, Hashem gave Deya into Adam Arishon to be able to make them. He took two stones and he rubbed them together to make fire, and he took two behemoths and bred them together in order to make a mule. Rav Shimon Gamliel says that no, mules were made in the days of Anna, and the ones who Darshan and Pesukim used to say that Anna himself, like we'll say in a moment, was a puzzle, was a mamzer, and that's why he created Pesukim, he created crossbreeds like mules. How do you know he's a mamzer? Because it says, Eilu b'nei Sarah Chari, and one of the children that lists over there is Anna. But then it says, Eilu b'nei Tzivoin, Vayiv Anna, that Anna was the son of Tzivoin. Must be that Tzivoin was Mizana with his mother, and from that marriage, from that relation, came Anna. Frankly, well, how do you know? Maybe it was two separate Anna. So on that, the Gemara says, since it says, who Anna, it's the same Anna from, that we mentioned before. The Gemara brings another Bryce that again lists the same 10 things that were created on Shabbos ben Hashmoshes. But on that, the Gemara says, the Bryce continues and brings a Yesh Oimim that the makel of Aaron's staff that was put into the Beis HaMikdash that sprouted almonds and flowers, that was all created on Erev Shabbos. Others say that Mazikim were also created on Erev Shabbos ben Hashmoshes. And others say that also the Beged of Adam Arishon was created then. The Gemara brings a Bryce that seven things are covered from people that people can't figure it out. One is the day that they'll die. Number two is the day that they'll get a nechama from things, from their tzaras, from their sorrow. Number three is the Oymek Adin, which either means Din of Mamas, that's very hard, most people can't figure it out, or it means the Din of Shemayim, lost it lovely. A person doesn't know what his friend is thinking. A person doesn't know what type of business venture he's going to be successful in. He doesn't know when Mashiach is going to come, when Malchus Beit Dama is going to come back. And finally, he doesn't know when the Malchus of Rishon will get destroyed. Three things, says the Brisa, Hashem thought of creating, and even if he didn't, they would have to be created anyway. That is, that mace should spoil, because otherwise people would keep their mace, their body around forever and would never bury it. Then a mace should be forgotten eventually, therefore they should live with their style the whole time. And tefillah should rot in order that people don't hoard it. Others say, a fourth thing, that coin should be created, that there should be currency in order to facilitate commerce. Next mission says, a place that I'm meant to do malacha on Tisha B'Av, they may do. A place that I'm meant not to do malacha, they don't do. And anywhere the Talmid Chacham don't do malacha, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that person should always make himself like a Talmid Chacham. Shmuel says that in the Bavel they don't have the chumrah of the Tana Sibra with the exception of Tisha B'Av. Is that to say that Shmuel holds that by Tisha B'Av Ben Hashmosh is already Aser because it's the same as the Tana Sibra? But didn't Shmuel himself say Ben Hashmosh of Tisha B'Av is Mutter? So maybe you'll tell me that Shmuel holds that a Tana Sibra also Ben Hashmosh is Mutter. Says the word, how could that be? The Mishnah Tanya says, you eat while it's still day. Isn't that coming lafuke ben Hashmoshes? So the Gemara says, no, it's coming lafuke that they don't eat at night, because as opposed to other Tanya, that you may eat at night till the next morning. Mo wanted to bring a riot to Shmuel because it says ain't bein Tisha B'Av liyom Kippurim. Only that suffik Tisha B'Av is mutter and suffik Yom Kippur is aser. So what's the suffik we're talking about? Oh, we're talking about Benish Moshe. So we see that suffik Benish Moshe of Tisha B'Av is mutter like Shmuel. So the Gemara no raya. Maybe the suffik that we're talking about over there is sveikah diyuma, but not Benish Moshe. Rava said that pregnant women and nursing women have to fast and complete the fast on Tisha B'Av the same way they do by Yom Kippur, and the Benish Moshe is aser. So too they said in the name of Rabbi Yechonon, the Benish Moshe of Tisha B'Av is aser. Frank the Gemara, did Rabbi Yechonon say so, that it's also? Didn't Rabbi Yechonon say that Tisha B'Av does not have the Chomer of a Tanis Tiber? So, didn't he mean that, that the Bein HaShmosh is a Mutter as opposed to a Tanis Tiber? So the Gemara says, no, it means to say that Tisha B'Av is not also B'Malacha. So now the Gemara says, that's Pasha, that's our Mishnah, because the Mishnah says that only a Makim Shenagu, not to do Malacha, doesn't do Malacha. And even Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who said that everybody shouldn't do malacha, he's just saying that everybody, that it's not considered gaiva to be machmer, not to malacha. But he never said that malacha is aser. So rather, says the Gemara, what does it mean that Tisha B'Av is not like a tiny sleeper? That means that you don't daven tefillos ne'ila. Frankly, Gemara, but doesn't Rav Yechonon say halavai a person should daven a whole day? So why can't the person daven ne'ila on Tisha B'Av? So the Gemara says, anachinami, on a tiny sleeper it's a choyv, on Tisha B'Av it's only a rishus. Or another tarot you could say is, what does it mean that Tisha B'Av is not like a Tzayin HaSibra? That you don't say the extra six brachas, meaning 24 brachas total in Shemoneh Esrei, you just say a regular Shemoneh Esrei on Tisha B'Av. Repalma says another tarot, what does it mean that Tisha B'Av is not like a Tzayin HaSibra? Means it's not like the first sets of the Tzayin HaSibra, which are more lenient, rather it's like the last seven Tzayin HaSibra, which are Taka Asr, which is Taka Asr Ben HaShmash, just like Rabbi Yechonon said. On that we asked, it says, Ein bein Tisha B'Av liyom Kippur, no, shezeh sveikah asur, v'zeh sveikah mutter. So doesn't it mean that the suffix Tisha B'Av is mutter means Ben HaShmash? So we see the Ben HaShmash of Tisha B'Av is mutter. So the Gemara answered, no, it means the suffix of sveikah diyuma, that you don't have to have sveikah diyuma on Tisha B'Av. Now the fact that we said Ein bein Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av only sveikah, it's mashal l'gabi everything else, Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av are the same, so that should be a right to Rabbi Elazar, who says that on Tisha B'Av a person cannot stick even his finger into water the same way that that's also on Yom Kippur. On that we ask, it says another brisa, Ein bein Tisha B'Av l'tana sibur, except that tana sibur is also b'asiyas malach, whereas Tisha B'Av is mutter b'asiyas malach, it's mashal everything else is mutter. And we know regarding they're the same. And we know with regarding a tana sibur that the only Issa Rechitza is his whole body, but even part of Yad Raglav is okay. Kol Shekhen to stick his hand into cold water. So on that, Rav Papa said that, no, the Brisa that are saying the Ein Bein means to say, Ein Bein Tisha B'Av, that Tisha B'Av is not more kuladik than Yom Kippur, except Legabe Sveikers, and Tisha B'Av is not kuladik than Tana Sibra, except Legabe Malacha. But in Echadami, you want to know there's chumus in Tisha B'Av that Tana Sibra don't have? Maybe there are, plenty of them. Then we said everywhere, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, Talmid Chacham don't do malacha, and everybody can act like a Talmid Chacham. So does that mean to say that the Tanakhama was choshev for gaiva, and therefore it's davak and the Talmid Chacham, whereas Rav Shimon Gamliel wasn't choshev for gaiva? Don't we say the opposite in brachas? We said that a chassan who is really potter from Sayyid Krishna the first night, but if he wants to, the Tanakhama says he may. Rav Shimon Gamliel says no, it's considered gaiva to do so. So we have a steer. So Rabbi Yechon says Anachanami, it's a steer. And one of the two Mishnahs, the sheet is not to be flipped around. Rav Shishu Ben Levi says not a steer. The steer in the Rabbanan is not shver, because over there where everybody else is saying Kriya Shema, and he says Kriya Shema doesn't look like Gaiva. Masha Enkin over here, where everybody else is doing Malacha, and he's not doing Malacha, it looks like Gaiva. According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, it's also not a steer. Because over there, Kriya Shema needs Kavanah. And we know that on the night of first night, he's Tarot in Bias Mitzvah, so he's not going to have Kavanah. Whereas over here, his not doing Malacha doesn't stand out, because, like we said before, many people don't do Malacha. So people are not going to say that he's not doing it because of a Chumrah. The next Mishnah says, the Chum say that in Yehuda they used to do Malacha on Erev Pesach until Chatzos, and in Galil they didn't. What about the night? Beishamah says it's also, Beishamah says it's Mutter. So the Mariah asks Esther, in the beginning of the parak we were saying it's Tali Aminig, and now we're saying that it's Tali Anis of Hatter. So Rabbi Yechon said, that's not a problem, it's two Tanoim, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, because we have a price that Rabbi Yehuda says that in Yehuda they did Malacha, and in Galil they did not. Rabbi Meir says, why are you talking about Yehuda and Galil? It's Tali Aminig. A place that had a Minig to do does, a place that had a Minig not to do doesn't do. So if Rabbi Meir said it's Tali Aminig, must be that Rabbi Yehuda was coming to say that no, some places held that it was really Yasser. Frankly, Gemara does Rabbi Yehuda hold that it's really Yasser? Don't we have a price that if someone was weeding on the 13th of Nisan and he, by accident, plucked out a grain, so he should replant it in a place where the soil is nice and damp, so it will take root and regrow right away, and not in a dry area. So it's Mashvadavka the 13th and not the 14th. Why is that? If it's because of Chodesh, that it has to take root before you bring the Omer, so we know that that in order to take root, you have 3 days. So you have the 14th, the 15th, and the 16th. So what's the problem? Must be the reason why he said the 13th and not the 14th is because the 14th is also Basiyas Malacha. So the Gemara answered, Enechinami, the 14th is also Basiyas Malacha, because we're talking about in Galil, where it's Aser. What about the night before? So the Gemara gives three truths to him. Either we're going like Beshama, who says the night before is also Aser, or it's not normal to work at night, and by day it's Taka Aser, because in Galil they held by day it's Aser. Or you could really say that we're going even in Yehuda where they did Malacha. But when it comes to this Halacha, the 3 days it takes to take root, so it has to be one partial day, one Mixas Yom Kippur, you could say. But you can't say two Mixas Yom Kippur. So if it would be on the 14th, you would only have part of the 14th and part of the 16th. That's no good. So it has to be on the 13th, so therefore you have the whole 14th, the whole 15th, and part of the 16th. The next Mishnah Ramirez says, a Malacha that was started from before the 14th, maybe completed on the 14th, but you can't start something on the 14th even if you have enough time to finish it. The Chum say there's three craftsmen that could work on Erev Pesach up to Chatzos: tailors, barbers, and launderers. Rabbi Yehuda adds also shoemakers. So we had a shot of three ways to explain the Mishnah. That which we say to finish is mutter is that only if it's Letzarech Yomtiv, but if it's Shalai Letzarech Yomtiv, even to finish would be a problem. Or maybe that's talking about Shalot Letzarech Yomtiv. But when it's Letzarech Yomtiv, you may even start. Or a third side, it makes no difference if it's Letzarech Yomtiv or not. Either way, you're allowed to finish and you're not allowed to start. So first we wanted to bring a ride. The Brisa says, you're not allowed to start on the 14th, even a small band or a small bonnet. So what does it mean, a small band or a small bonnet? Meaning things that are normally, probably, Letzarech Yomtiv. And nonetheless, you're only allowed to finish, you're not allowed to start. It's mashma that Letzarech Yomtiv, those things you're allowed to finish, that means things that are not Letzarech Yomtiv, you're not even allowed to finish. So now we said, no raya. Maybe these things are Shalai Letzarech Yomtiv, and nonetheless, you're not allowed to start them. What's the havamina? Because you would think that since you're so small, they take so quick that starting and finishing them is just like finishing them, mashma alone, that you don't say that. So then we bring another bias that Remeir says, any malacha that's Letzarech HaMoed may be finished on the 14th. Now we said, when is that show? That's only if you started before the 14th, but if you started on the 14th, it would be a problem, even if it's a small band, even if it's a small bonnet. So what do we see over here? That even Letzarech HaMoed is dafka if you finish, and not to start. And it's mashma dafka Letzarech HaMoed, you may finish, but Shalei Letzarech HaMoed, you may not even finish. So says Rambam, no, maybe even if it's Shalei Letzarech HaMoed, you may finish, but the chiddush is that even Letzarech HaMoed, you're dafka allowed to finish, and not allowed to start. So then we bring a third brisa that says explicitly, Rameh says, any malacha that's Letzarech HaMoed, you're allowed to finish. And if it's not Letzarech HaMoed, then you're not allowed to do it at all. Then, in a place that had a meaning to do malacha, up to Chatzos, you may. And in a place that had a meaning not to do, you're not allowed to do it. So what do we see here? Clearly, that the heter of the mission is only Letzarech HaMoed and only to finish. Why are these three craftsmen that the mission says different? So the brisa explains, since tailors have a heter to work even a Chol HaMoed, Not professionals, but a non-professional head, you could sew on Chol HaMoed. So since there's a head to sew on Chol HaMoed, so therefore even professionals are allowed to do it on Erev Yom Tov. Barbers and launderers, because someone who comes from overseas on Yom Tov or gets let out of jail on Yom Tov, he's allowed to take a haircut and launder Chol HaMoed. So since again there's a head to do with Chol HaMoed, so then everybody's allowed to do it on Erev Yom Tov. Rabbi Yosef Rebbe says, who are them shoemakers, because the other golem that their shoes got ruined, are allowed to have their shoes fixed on Chol HaMoed, therefore it's mutter on Erev Yom Tov for everybody. So on that, the Gemara says that the Tanakhama disagreed, because the Tanakhama holds that that's only fixing shoes, but to make shoes from scratch, that you can't compare it to fixing shoes, whereas Rebbe Yosef holds that no, you do learn Tchilas Malacha from Seif Malacha. The next Mishnah says that you're allowed to put birds, either pigeons or hens, on eggs to sit on the eggs to hatch. And if a hen on Erev Yom Tov, on Erev Pesach, and if a hen gets off, runs away, you're allowed to bring it back. And if it dies, you're allowed to replace it with another one. If you have under the feet of the animals the dirt, there waste products of the animals, you're allowed to sweep it away on your dalid on Erev Yom Tov. But on Chol HaMoed, you're not allowed to sweep it away. You just move it to the side. then you could bring kelim to a craftsman and pick it up, even if they're not mitzayrich yomtiv on Erev Pesach. So the Gemara asks on the Reisha, if you're allowed to lechatchila go and put a chicken on new eggs to hatch them, so for sure, why did the Seifa have to say that if it left, you're allowed to bring it back? That's called shekin. So Abai said the Seifa is referring to Cholamoid. Cholamoid, you're not allowed to put them there lechatchila, but if they were already there and now they left, you're allowed to bring it back. Rav Huna said, there's two conditions over here. That's only if it didn't leave for 3 days, because once it left for 3 days, then the egg already got ruined. And also that originally, initially it sat on it for a minimum of 3 days, because otherwise the egg didn't yet start changing, and therefore it's not going to get ruined now, you could still eat the egg. And then Rav Ami disagreed. Rav Ami says that even if it sat there for less than 3 days, still you could bring it back. And then we'll explain the machlokes is, if Rechashe for only a hasem meruba, large loss, or even a hasem mur, because over here, even though it didn't change a lot yet, but it changed a little bit, and only some people will eat it, not everybody. So there is some loss because of supply and demand. So the Rav Huna was Rechashe for a hasem mur, and Rav Ami was Rechashe even for a hasem mur. The Gemara quotes a brisa that if you have dung in the courtyard, then you can move it to the side. If it's in a barn or in a courtyard, then you could take it out and put it in a dump. So the Gemara says that's a stira. First you said you could only move it to the side, then you said you could put it in a dump. So the Gemara says, yeah, the Reisha is talking about Cholamoid. The Seifa is talking about Yudalid. Rama said a second teretz. Both of them are talking about Cholamoid. And the Seifa means to say, if the Chatzar gets so dirtied that now it already looks like a refus, like a stable, like a barn, so then you could already clean it out and take it to the garbage dump. That which we said you could bring kelim to the craftsman and pick it up. So Rav Papa said, Rav, when he wanted to test us, he would ask us the following theory. Over here it says you could take kelim and pick them up. The Mishnah Merkatan says that you cannot bring kelim to a craftsman unless it's tzarech yomtiv. And if you're choshed that maybe they'll get stolen, so then you should move it to another chatzah that's close by. So we answered, yeah, our mishnah is talking about the 14th, and it's mutter regardless. So that mishnah over there is talking about Chol HaMoed. It's only mutter if it's l'tzarech yomtiv, or you're afraid that it's going to get stolen, you move it to another house nearby. Another teretz, both of them are talking about Chol HaMoed. Our mishnah, that mishnah over there is talking about you trust him, and he's not going to demand his wages twice. Our mission over here is talking about when you don't trust him. And we talk about a baisa that makes that chiluk, because the baisa says you could pick up the kelim from an uman, if they're a tzarech yomtiv, like a jug from the one who makes jugs, or a cup from the glass maker, but not things that are not with tzarech yomtiv, like dyed wool or other kelim that are not going to be used for yomtiv. However, if the craftsman doesn't have what to eat, so you can go there to pay him, and then you move the kelim by him. Let's say you don't trust him, so you put it to a house nearby. If you're afraid they're going to get stolen from there, so then you can bring it to your house. So we see that we make this distinction between if you trust him or not. So says the Gemara, that's very good to say how you can pick him up. But our Mishnah says you can even bring it there. And over there, if you can't pick it up, Koshkin, you can't bring it. So how are you going to take care of that stira? So the Gemara says you have to go back to the original parents that our Mishnah is talking about Yudal, whereas that Mishnah is talking about Cholamayit. Then the next mission says six things the people of Yericho did. Three of them Chazal objected against, and three of them they did not. The first three that they didn't object is that they would graft on the 14th and Erev Pesach. They would be Karev Shema, which we'll explain in the Gemara, and they would harvest and make piles of the new grain before the Omer. The following three they did object. They were Matu the new growths of branches that grew from a Hector's tree. They were Matu the fruit that fell off a tree to be eaten on Shabbos, and they gave off paya for vegetables, even though it's not chayiv in paya, and if that's the case, you're pottering it for mice, and the aniyim are going to end up eating tevel. The Gemara brings a price that Chizkiyahu HaMelech did six things, three Chazal agreed with, and three they didn't. He was Mevaz's father, he didn't bury him in a bakavitik way, rather he dragged his body through the streets because he was a Rasha, on a bed of ropes. And he crushed the copper snake that Moshe Rabbeinu made because people started serving it as a Avodah Zarah. And he buried the Sefer Refuahs because people stopped davening to Hashem because they just looked up this Refuah and the Sefer Refuahs. And on these three, the Chachamim agreed. On the next three, they didn't agree. He cut off the doors of the Hechel to send them as a present to the king of Asher so he shouldn't attack. And then he stuffed up the upper Gichon waters in order to cut off the water supply from the Melech Asher. And those two things, they didn't agree. Also, he made an Ibriyah. He made an extra month once it was already Nisan. And again, they didn't agree to that. That which he's saying that they grafted the trees on Erev Pesach. What was the process? So Reb Yehuda says they took off fresh hadas with the juice of the fruit of a laurel tree and barley flour that was ground less than 40 days ago. They would boil it together and pour it into the center of the tree, and that would make the tree healthy, but it would be so potent that if they wouldn't do it to the nearby trees, any tree that was within a 4-hour radius of it that it wasn't done to, that tree would die. Another Tractate Gemara says is they took a male palm branch and they put it into, grafted it together with a female palm branch in order to cross-pollinate that they should grow properly. What is this Korach and Shema? So Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda said that they would say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad without pausing. Rava said that they would say Hayom Alavecha, which sounds like only now it has to be on your heart, but in the future it doesn't. Then the Gemara quotes a Braisa that says, the Tanakhama says Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and they wouldn't be Masik. Then Rabbi Yehuda says they would be Masik, but they would skip Baruch Shem. So then the Gemara explains, why do we say Baruch Shem? Because like Rav Shimon ben Lakish said that Yaakov wanted originally to tell his children when Mashiach is going to come. The Shekhinah left him, so he thought maybe it's because there was a psul in his children. So on that, his children told him back, no, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. When Yaakov heard that, he said, Baruch Shem Kamei Machul Sodom Ved. So Chazal said, what should we do? Should we say Baruch Shem? The Maaseh, when Moshe wrote in the Torah, he didn't write it. Should we not say it? The Maaseh, Yaakov Avinu said it. So therefore, we should say it quietly. And that's his Rabbi Yitzchak, that they said in the Yeshiva Ravami, a mashal to a princess that smells this good food and she has a desire for it. So if she's going to say and ask for it, then it's a gnai for her. If she's not going to say anything, she's going to have tzar. So therefore, Avodim went secretly to get it for her. Rav Avo says they were mistaken to start saying Baruch Shem out loud because of the minim, the apikursim, they used to say that we're saying improper things quietly. But in Nadar, that they didn't have a problem of minim, so therefore they continued with the old minim to say it quietly. Then the Gemara quotes a price that the six things that the Anshi Yericha did, three were Tzayin Chacham that Chacham agreed to, and three that Chacham disagreed with. The three that Chacham agreed to is that they would graft on the 14th, they were Korach HaShema, and they would harvest before the Omer. The three that they didn't agree to is they would pile before the Omer, they would leave breaches in the fences of their gardens and their orchards in order that the Aniyim could eat from the fallen fruits on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and they would permit the branches of Hakdish that after they cut down the carob tree or the sycamore tree and the new branches grew, so they were mounted those branches. That's the sheet of a mayor. Reviewer says, if the Chum agreed to it, then everybody would be doing it. Must be everything the Chum disagreed with. Rather, three they decided to object, and three they didn't object. Which ones did they not object? The grafting, being Korach HaShema, and harvesting and piling before the Omer. Which did they object? They permitted the branches of Hekdesh, they permitted the eating the fallen fruit on Shabbos, and they gave payoff for Yerek. Frankly, Gemara does Rabbi Yehuda hold that harvesting before the Omer is Shalei B'Tzayin Chacham, the Chacham didn't agree with that. Don't we have a Mishnah in Menachos that says the Anshi Yericha used to cut before the Omer and the Chacham were okay with that, but which they piled before the Omer the Chacham disagreed with, but they decided not to object. So who's the one that said that we're talking about either objecting or not objecting? That's Rabbi Yehuda, because according to a mayor, they never objected. Some they agreed to and some they didn't agree to. And nonetheless, Rabbi Yehuda said that the Ksira was B'Tzayin Chacham. So the Gemara says, anyway, regardless, the Mishnah says it was three things, and we list four. Because we list Korach and Eshashma, we listed Kaitzim and Gadshim, and we also listed Markim and the Kalim. So Teretz is, must be that you have to take out Kaitzim from here, and because Kaitzim is talking about Tzayin Chachamim. The Gemara explains what was the machlokes with permitting the branches of Hekdesh. So, because the fathers were only makdish the original tree, once that was that lumber was cut and now new branches grew, so that the people of Yericha said that's mutter because since we know there's no meal on it, so it must be it's mutter. The Chum disagreed. The Chum said anachanami, there's no meal on it, but there's still an isser. Then the machlokes with the fallen fruit. So Ula says the name Reish Lakish. The machlokes is the fruit that are stuck between the palms on top of the tree. Because over there, that's right next to the fruit that's still attached. The Rabbanim will go and maybe climb up the tree and attach the fruit that are growing from the tree on Shabbos. And the Anshei Yericha were in Gezer. But the ones that already fell out of the tree, past where the attached fruit are, everybody holds those are mutter. Frankly, well, why are they not a problem of Muktzah? So the Gemara says, maybe because they're right to feed to ravens, to birds, but how could that be? Because if you're going to say that something that's designated for human food, if it becomes animal food, is muksa, so koshke, and something that is animal food, if it becomes human food, is muksa. Like Rebbe Yehuda says, an animal that wasn't there before Shabbos is muksa to feed it to the dogs if it dies on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, no. Something that's made for a person is not going to be maksa, take it out of his das, therefore, he doesn't plan on feeding it to his dogs. But the opposite, something that's not made for a person, nevada, he has das on it, that if it becomes right for him, he's going to want it. However, Rabban says in the name of Reish Lakish, the machlekes is on the ones that fell on the ground, that the Rabbanin hold that it's not muksa because it was mukhad for the birds, and the Anshei Richa, held that it was muksa because we don't say that it's mukhad for the birds, it makes it mukhad for people. Anshei Richa says, no, the fact that it was mukhad for the birds makes it not muksa. However, the ones that are in the palms, everybody agrees, are a problem because everybody agrees of this gezeira that you might climb a tree and be tigers from the ones that are attached to the tree. That which they gave pair of, off of vegetables, frankly, the more they didn't hold of that which we say, a rule in Peah, that anything that's a food, guarded, grows on the ground, collected all, picked at one time, and gathered in to last, is chayv in Peah. But if it doesn't have any of the, all five of these conditions, then it's part of in Peah. And we explain, oichos is to exclude the wild growths of satis and kaita, which were plants that were used for dyeing, not to eat. Guarded means lafuke, ownerless things, hafker. Growing from the ground is lafuke, mushrooms and truffles, which don't grow from the ground. Picked at one time is lafuke, things like figs that don't have a season, some ripen today, some ripen tomorrow, some ripen next week. And brought into last means they have shelf life, lafuke yerek, which wilts right away. So, that the Gemara answers, if you didn't name it Rav, that over here we're talking about the greens that grow out of the turnips, that since the turnips themselves last, so even though the greens by themselves would not last, but since they last, as long as they're attached to the bulbs, that was the machlokes. The Chacham held that machlis lekima yedei davraka, if it only lasts through something else, that's not called machlis lekima, and therefore it's potter from peah. Whereas the people of Yericha held that machlis lekima yedei davraka is chayiv and peah because it's called machlis lekima.